This is lesson TBP number 17, and the series that we're on is The Name of Jesus. And this particular lesson is entitled, Jesus is with us through His name.
Well, you're ready to receive. I believe I'm ready to teach. But it's been a little different today. I don't have any outline tonight. I'm sorry about that, but I really haven't been able to decide on what the Lord wants to do tonight. You know, I've had one prepared earlier this week, but that wasn't it. So why don't you just join up with me in your faith, and we'll just pray and see what God's got for tonight. And just use your faith, because I need your faith tonight, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus, Father. I know that there's something that you want tonight to go forth. I haven't really been able to get my spirit clear what it is. But Father, I just trust you that you have something, Father God, for these people tonight, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, in faith, we thank you for your word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. We've been talking about prayer and the prayer of faith, Debbie said. We'll be talking about the name of Jesus. So why don't we just turn to Acts chapter 3. Start there. See where we go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the power in the name of Jesus. Now, I think as Christians, most of us have heard, you know, pray in the name of Jesus. We've heard people pray in Jesus' name ever since we came, especially into the charismatic type churches. But, you know, if we're not careful, that name can become more like a lucky charm or a rabbit's foot or just sort of something we say. The thing that we need, I think, sometimes is a revelation of the power in that name. He gave us that name to use. That name takes the place of the Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Remember in John 14, we talked about this fact that he said, He that believeth on me, in my name, shall he do the works that I do also. And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Now, what was the conditions for thus doing these works? He that believeth on me was the first one, right? Be a believer, all right? And if you're a believer, what are you going to be able to do? The works that Jesus did, he said? It seems almost beyond our comprehension that we could do the works that Jesus did. And even greater works, he said. So how is it that we're able to do these works? I mean, Jesus is back at the right hand of the Father. We're here. You know, what gives us the right? You know, what was it the disciples had, the apostles, the disciples, when they were in the early church? They didn't have the Bible like you and I have. All they had was the instructions of the risen Lord to go by for a long time until things were written down. But one thing Jesus told them, He that believeth on me in my name, He gave them two things they could do. One, they could do works that He did and even greater works. And number two, in John 16:23, He said, In my name you can pray to the Father and He will give you that which you ask. Hallelujah. So let's just see Acts 3. We have Peter going up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, verse 2, was lame from his mother's womb and was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms, or ask for some money, really, is what they're talking about. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And then he said, In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now think about that for a second. Here we have Peter, who only not long before that was denying the Lord, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and now he's walking into the temple about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He sees a man laying there who said was lame from his mother's womb. This man had never walked a step in his life. Every day they carried him and laid him there. Peter walked up to this man and he said, Silver and gold I know that's what you're waiting for here. I don't have any. But there's something I do have. Praise the Lord. What did he have?
The name.
He had the name. He knew he had the name, didn't he? That was the key for the whole thing, really, is Peter knew he had the name. He listened to what his master said. He knew he had the name. And then if you go on down through here, you see the man rose up, he walked, he leaped, he went into the temple. They were all praising God. They couldn't believe. I mean, think about it. This man had laid there. I mean, he's been laying from his mother's womb. I just believe that guy's been laying there for a long time, every day. They've been walking by this guy, you know. He's a fixture at this temple. And all of a sudden, they see him in there. And he entered into the temple, in verse 8, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They'd seen him there before. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And they all ran up and they thought Peter was a big deal, and John, because they were the ones that just happened to say in this name, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." Isn't that the way we do sometimes? Think about it, you know, you go to a big meeting or something, and Kenneth Hagin or pastor or somebody's laying hands on people. They get slain in the spirit or whatever. And if we're not careful, we get our eyes on the people that are doing the laying on of hands rather on the one who's doing the healing. You know? They all came up and thought Peter and John were doing something. And in verse 8 here it says, Peter said, "Why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" A lot of people say today, if you go in the denominational churches, well, the apostles could do these things. You know, because they were holy, they'd been with the Lord, they knew things. Peter dispels that right here. He says, "What are you looking at us like our holiness did?" It's not that at all. So it wasn't any office they held that enabled them to do this, was it? Peter's putting that down right now. He's saying, it's not because I'm an apostle, it's not because of any power I have. The power is in the name. See, and we all have authority and permission to use that name. He didn't like them looking at him quite that way. That we made this man to walk. But down in verse 16, he gives a key. He said, "And his name..." See, there's two parts here. His name does the work. But Peter had faith in that name. See? "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man whole, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So two things there. I mean, you know, this is the Holy Spirit talking to us. He's telling us how these things work. That's what I like about the Bible. He tells you to do things, and he tells you how. And if we'll follow his direction, it'll work for us too. His name, okay, that's the first thing. You need to use the name of Jesus. The second thing, though, isn't quite as immediate. I mean, immediately Jesus gave him permission, "In my name. You can use my name if you're a believer." He said, "You can do this thing if you're a believer." So that's number one, in his name. But the second thing is through faith in his name. Now, how does faith in his name come? Is it just something that automatically comes with the new birth? I don't think it's quite that simple. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible tells us. Romans 10:17. So the more you hear about the name, the more you meditate upon the name, the more you'll appreciate the name. And the more you'll understand what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:6. It's kind of a Christmas verse. You hear it around Christmas. Did you ever hear this? His name shall be called Emmanuel. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. When you start getting the revelation of that wonderfulness of that name, what you've been given. I mean, that comes through meditation in the Word, on the power in this name. If you've been wondering, you know, I know I have sometimes in the past, you know, why? You know, my prayers, I'm doing what it says here, praying in the name of Jesus, I'm a believer, I'm doing all that stuff. What's going on here? I'm not seeing any answers. Well, I found out later that I didn't have much faith in that name. I was using it sort of as a magic charm or something. And then I'd just try it out. I'm trying it. Okay, I'll try this. See, the thing is, you don't really try the Word of God. You do the Word of God. See, when you say, "I'll try that," what you're saying is, if God isn't telling a lie, it'll probably work. I've done it myself. But his name through faith in his name. Now, I just encourage you to spend some time in your Bible study, your study time. Everybody's always saying, you know, I've had these questions before. Well, I'm not sure what I should do in the Bible. You know, where do I start reading? What do I do, you know? Well, okay, that's a good question. That's a valid question. What do you do? Well, find out where your need is. Find out something you'd like to do, something you're not able to do right now. And then find out what's required and start meditating on those verses. Now, a good thing to do would be to get in the Bible and find out, get in the, what it says about the name. As you meditate on the power in this name, the power in that name. I mean, that name takes the place of the Lord. Turn to Matthew 18. I'll show you something. See, remember Jesus was going away. He said, you know, you see me now, but the minute you're not, in a few days you're not going to see, but you're going to see me again. And, you know, I'm going away, but then I'm going to come back and be with you. And they were having all kinds of problems trying to understand what Jesus was talking about. But you know what? Well, hold your thing there and turn to Matthew 28 also. Just keep Matthew 18 in mind. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. If you look up the Greek word there, it's not really power. The Greek word is exousia, which means authority. There's a Greek word dynamis, like dynamite, that means power most places. This means all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now listen. Go you. What's the next word? Therefore. You ever wonder what that word therefore is there for sometimes? He's saying, listen, all power has been given unto me. Go you therefore. He's saying, all power has been given unto me, and because you're in me, it's been given unto you. Then go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How is he with us? Always. In what form is he with us? Well, yes, the Holy Spirit indwells us. That's one way. But you know another way he's with us? Always, even until the end of the world? In his name. Now look back at Matthew 18 and verse 19. Now we quote this all the time about prayer of agreement, and that's good. Verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you on earth shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now verse 20 is what I want to get to. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. See how he's there? In his name. Lo, I am with you always. How is he with us? In his name. Is one way. When you have the name of Jesus, when you have the revelation of what that name contains, when you know that through faith in his name, that he is all the power of the risen Lord is in that name, and you have permission to use it, and he's right there with you when you use it. You know, he's not out somewhere else going, Father, let's just see if this works or not, you know. I mean, he's put it on the line. This is his name. He's saying, if you'll do these things in my name, this is what'll happen. 1 John 4:17 is really a good scripture. It says, this is a good one for meditating on. You ever meditate on the Word of God? I recommend it because the true knowledge that you get, I mean, the depth of the knowledge you get in the Word is kind of in proportion to the kind of the importance that you put into the Word. In other words, as you place it on a high shelf and pedestal and give priority to it, so too will you get a direct amount of revelation in the Word of God. Now, as you meditate in the Word, one thing I like to do is, before I go to sleep at night, pick a scripture. Now, this is a good one, 1 John 4:17. And before I go to bed, you know, memorize it if I don't already know it or something, then go to bed. And then as I go to sleep, before I go to sleep, just start meditating on that scripture. And then as I wake up in the night, it'll be right there. You know, if you wake up and then meditate on it some more, go back to sleep, and you wake up in the morning with an appreciation and revelation of what that scripture means you never had before. Now, you know, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, that's a good one. That's a simple one. It's only 9 words. It's kind of rhythmic. As he is, so are we in this world. It's easy to remember. Okay, start on the as he is. What is he like? Meditate on that for half an hour. As he is. He loves every one of us. He's all powerful. He's given us his name. After you meditate on that for a while, go to so are we. As he is, all those things you just meditated about Jesus, so are we. Now, some people have a problem with that. They're saying, oh, wait, come on. Isn't that what the Word says, though? And you know why that can be? Because aren't we in him? Aren't we part of his body? Then, as he is, so are we. Well, when we get to heaven, maybe, in this world. Boy, that really cuts it right down, doesn't it? Right here, we are as he is, so are we in this world. Now, I could say that till the cows come home. But as you meditate on this, now I can see where the Lord's going a little bit here tonight, I think. Because I wouldn't have gotten into this on my own probably. But as you meditate on these scriptures, they'll become yours. And I'm telling you, the Word of God will become something so special to you and so precious and so lovely that when you see the name of Jesus, it'll just send a thrill right through you. When you hear the name, his name is wonderful.
Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question, true or false? Jesus said in John 16:23, that if we ask anything of the Father in his name, his Father would give it to us. Before we answer this question, let's go back and read John 16:23 and see what it says. All right, John 16:23, Jesus said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now let's go back and read this question again and see how that fits in. True or false? Jesus said in John 16:23 that if we ask anything of the Father in his name, his Father would give it to us. True or false? Well, that's true. That's exactly what Jesus said, isn't it? He said, if you ask the Father, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So you ask the Father, and you ask it in Jesus' name, and then the Father gives it to you. So that is true. Next question. This was the only statement Jesus made about praying in his name. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. Let's go back and find in this same long discourse that Jesus is giving through John 13:14, 15, 16, and 17, and see if there's anything else he said about praying in his name. If you go back to John chapter 15 and look at verse 16, Jesus made this statement, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's exactly the same thing that Jesus said in John 16:23. He said, you ask the Father in my name, and then the Father gives it to you. So there was another statement that Jesus made about praying in his name. So the answer to this question would be false, the way it's written. Next question, true or false? Praying to the Father in Jesus' name was also the only condition Jesus placed on prayer in his name. True or false? Now, I realize this is a little bit of review, but it pays to go over it again, I think. The answer to this question is false. Why is it false? Well, we just read in John chapter 15, verse 16, that Jesus said, I have ordained you that you'd bring forth fruit, and their fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. How does that fruit remain? By you praying in his name. How do we get that fruit? Well, verse 7 in this chapter tells us, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples. So there is another condition on praying in the name of Jesus, other than praying to the Father in Jesus' name, and that is, we must abide in Him, that is, be a believer, have accepted Jesus as your Savior, that's how you abide in Him, and the second thing is to have His words abide in you. How does His words live in us? By being a doer of the Word. So folks, we got to be people that are committed unto His Word. His words must abide in us in the sense that when we ask the Father for things in Jesus' name, that we do not ask things contrary to God's Word. You know, crazy things like anything that's not covered in God's Word, things that would be harmful to another person or something like that. See how God cleverly eliminates all those kinds of things. He said, no, the things that you must ask for must be things that show that my word abiding in you. In other words, something that's provided by His word, some right or privilege we have from His word. Those things we can always be sure that God will answer. Remember 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So we pray the promises of God. So, to make a long story short, the answer to this question is false. Praying to the Father in Jesus' name was not the only condition Jesus placed on prayer in His name. He added two more in John 15:7-8. And one is that we abide in Him, that is, we're believers. And number two, that His words abide in us, so that when we pray, we're not praying contrary to His will. Okay, we'll go on to the next question now. When we do the works of Jesus, we do them in the name of the Father, and then the Father does them through us. Is that true or false? Well, let's just read the scripture having to do with the works of Jesus. Now that's John, as we covered before, John 14:12-13. So let's read John chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask, and we talked about that word, ask, A-I-T-E-O in the Greek, means to demand as something due. And so let's read it this way. And whatsoever you shall demand as something due in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now let's go back and read this question again. When we do the works of Jesus, and that's what these verses are talking about, we do them in the name of the Father, and then the Father does them through us. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. We just read here in John 13, whatever you demand of something do in my name, that will I do. So we do it in the name of the one speaking here, which is Jesus. Okay, in my name, he said. So we do these works in Jesus' name, and then Jesus does them. So it's false because I said we do it in the name of the Father, and then the Father does them. No, believers do these works in the name of Jesus, and then Jesus does them through us. Okay, so that's why it's false. Next question. Jesus was able to perform the works that he did because he is God. Is that true or false? Well, he certainly was God, but that wasn't the way he was able to perform his works. So that's false. We talked about that in our last lesson. Next question. True or false? No, Jesus said that the Father did the works through him. True or false? That's true. See, when Jesus came to this earth, Philippians chapter 2 tells us he gave up his heavenly powers, and he came here as a man. See, if he would have been a sinless Son of God, which he was the Son of God, but if he had done all these things because he was God, he couldn't have been our Savior. He had to come here and live as a man and die as a man on the cross, living a perfectly sinless life as a man to be our Savior and to be our Redeemer. So even though he was always God, even when he was on the earth, he did give up his heavenly powers when he came here. Okay, now let me just go on to this question again. True or false? No, Jesus said that the Father did the works through him. That is true. What scripture can we find that at? Well, there are several, but let's just read John 14:10, because that's right near where we're reading right now. Jesus said, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So who's doing the works? The Father that dwelt in Jesus. Jesus wasn't using his own godly powers to do this work. He was doing these works through the power of the Father, through the Holy Spirit indwelling Jesus. So the answer to this question then is true. What scripture tells us that? John 14:10. Next question. True or false? Since Christians are not God, they should never expect to be able to do the works Jesus did. True or false? Well, that's false. That's what we've been reading right here. Remember? Jesus said, he that believeth on me, are you a believer on him? Yes, you are. If you accepted Jesus as your Savior, I'm a believer, you're a believer. Then if you believe on him, the works that Jesus did, you'll be able to do also, and even greater works. And we talked about this in our last lesson. So that's why Jesus came here and made this statement, because he was ministering as a man with the power of the Holy Spirit, the same way that we'll minister as part of his body. And that's why he was able to make this statement. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See, Jesus wasn't doing these works because he was God. He was doing these as the Son of God with the power of the Holy Spirit working through him, just as we're sons and daughters of God with the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We're now part of Jesus' body. So we do the works the same way Jesus did. So the answer to this question then would be false, because Jesus said we are able to do the same works that Jesus did. Okay, next question. True or false? No, talking about the last question about believers, they will do them the same way Jesus did, by the Father working through them by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is true. Now, the next questions that we're going to talk about deal with the account of the lame man in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Let me just read a few of these verses in the beginning of this chapter to put it freshly into your mind. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, or about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then later in verse 16, Peter says, and his name, through faith in his name, talking about Jesus' name, has made this man strong. Okay, so now let's go answer the questions about this account of the lame man in Acts chapter 3. True or false? The crippled or lame man laid by the gate Beautiful had never walked in his life. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. It says here that a certain man lame from his mother's womb. That means he'd never walked. Okay, next question. True or false? Peter and John went to the temple that morning determined to heal someone. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. They were just on their way to go to the temple at the hour of prayer. It doesn't say anything about them determined to heal anyone. So that would be false. The lame man was also looking for someone to heal him. True or false? Well, that's false too. What was the lame man looking for? He was just there looking for some alms or some money someone would give him, because he couldn't earn his own living because he couldn't walk. So he was looking for some money. So that's false too. When Peter said, look on us, the man expected to be healed. Well, that's false too. That's not what he expected, was it? He expected, what did he expect? He expected to receive an alms. So that's false. Next question. Peter told the man he would give him what he wanted. Is that true or false? Well, that's false too. Peter did not tell the man he would give him what he wanted, which was the alms or the money. But Peter said something else, didn't he? And we'll cover that in the next question. Peter didn't have any money, but he had something. What was it? And then we say, what was it? Blank, blank, and blank in the blank. What was it? Jesus' name and faith in the name. That goes in those blanks. So the thing that Peter had was Jesus' name. And he had a second thing, was it? Wasn't it? Verse 16 tells us he had faith in that name. So what goes in those blanks is Jesus' name, faith, and name. Next question. Which of these two verses that Jesus gave believers permission to use did Peter actually use with the lame man? Check one. Did he use John 16:23 or John 14:12-13? Now, just by way of review, John 16:23 was, Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. And in John 14:12-13, Jesus said, as believers, the works that Jesus did shall we do also. And then he said, and whatsoever you shall demand of something do in my name, that will I do. So, which one did Peter use when God healed the man at the gate beautiful through him? Which one? Well, he did the works in Jesus' name, or John 14:12-13 would be the correct answer. He didn't pray, did he? He didn't ask the Father in Jesus' name for anything. He just looked at the man and said, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. So that was doing works in Jesus' name, or demanding something due. So that's a little different. So the answer to this question then, you should check the box, John 14:12-13. Now, let's go on to the next question in Acts chapter 3. It was important that Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, when God healed the lame man, so there wasn't any confusion about which Jesus he was talking about. Is that true or false? Well, the reason I say that, let's just go back and hear what Peter said. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I'll read the question again. It was important that Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, when God healed the lame man, so there wasn't any confusion about which Jesus he was talking about. That's false. The reason I put this question in here is I've heard several people say that when we pray in the name of Jesus, don't forget to say Nazareth. Don't forget to say Jesus of Nazareth, because that's what Peter did here. Folks, that's silly. Nazareth doesn't have any power. Jesus is the name with the power. That's the name we use. Whether you say Jesus of Nazareth or just Jesus, it doesn't matter. The enemy knows which Jesus we're talking about. And so we don't have to say the word Nazareth. And I just say that because some people have been confused by this. How do I know this? Well, go back to Acts 16:18 when they cast the devil out in the name of Jesus. What did they say? And I'll read it. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So see, he didn't say Nazareth there. So Nazareth has nothing to do with it. It's just the way Peter, you can say Nazareth, but you don't have to, okay? I'm just trying to make this as clear as I can. Nazareth has no power. The name of Jesus is what has the power. Now let's go on to some more questions that are just general questions about this lesson, but don't concern this lame man. We're going to leave the lame man for now. I think we've covered enough about him. All right, now let's go to Mark chapter 16. And I'm going to read this to you, and then we'll answer the question. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus made this statement. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is verse 16. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now listen to this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, will follow believers. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And in verse 20, he went on to say, and they went forth, talking about the believers, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. All right, now let's answer this question. In Mark 16, 17, and 20, Jesus said that blank could do five different things in his blank. What goes in there? In Mark 16, 17 through 20, Jesus said that believers could do five different things in his name. Next question. And these blank went forth and blank everywhere, the blank working with them, and confirmed the blank with blank following. Well, that's verse 20, and it should be this way. And these believers went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirmed the word with signs following. See, that's what we're supposed to do too. As believers, we're supposed to go forth, preach what the word says, say what God's word says, everywhere you go. Anybody that comes across your path that would be open to the word of God, we're to talk to. And then if we do this, the Lord will work with us and confirm his word with signs following. That's why it's important, folks, to always be close to the word when you talk to someone else. Quote the word, stay very close to the word. If you want the Lord to confirm that word with signs following, he won't confirm just any word, but he'll confirm his word in the Bible. So that's why it's important for us to stick close to the Bible when we talk to people. Next question. This shows us that blank will be blank blank when we use his blank. Let's fill in those blanks. This shows us that Jesus will be with us when we use his name, just like he was with the disciples. He'll be with us. He's with us through his name, folks. Now, let's go back to Matthew 18, 19, and 20 and read this, and then we'll answer the question. Matthew 18, 19, and 20. Jesus said, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, let's answer the question. In Matthew 18, 19, and 20, Jesus said that where blank or blank are gathered together in my blank, there will blank be in the midst of them. This also shows us that blank is with us through the blank. Okay, let's answer this question. Now listen closely. In Matthew 18, 19, and 20, Jesus said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I, meaning Jesus, be in the midst of them. This also shows us that Jesus is with us through the name. In other words, through his name. So again, Jesus is with us through his name. That's why we should use that name, folks, because Jesus is right there with us when we use that name to honor that name, to honor his name. It's got power, folks, that name. That name, Jesus, only the name Jesus. And we've covered this before, not his, not thy, not Christ, not Jesus of, not Nazareth, but Jesus. You can use Christ with it. You can use Nazareth with it. But Jesus is the name with the power. True or false? Jesus is right there with us when we use his name. Well, I think we know the answer to that after all the rest of the things we've talked about. And the answer to that is true. And that's the point I'm trying to get through in this lesson. Jesus is with us when we use his name. If you want a closeness of Jesus with you, use that name in faith. And Jesus will be right there, whether it's the prayer of agreement, just prayer, or doing works in the name of Jesus. We've seen three different ways so far that Jesus is with us through his name. And I'll say that again. In John 16, 23, Jesus is with us in his name in prayer. where he said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. In John 14, 12, and 13, Jesus is with us through doing works in his name. That whatever we demand is something due, Jesus is right there with us when we use his name. And here in Matthew 18, 19, we see that Jesus is also with us when two or three believers get together and agree on something in his name. He's right there with us. And finally, the last question comes from 1 John 4:17, and fill in the blanks. As blank is, so are blank in this blank. What goes in there? As he is, so are we in this world. So as Jesus is, so are we in this world. How is this true? Through his name. As he is, so are we in this world. The way we're like Jesus in this world is through his name. Remember, folks, that when Jesus came here, as I said before, he gave up his godly powers and operated through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, who is his body on the earth? Remember when Jesus was here in his body? He was here in his own body and did these works. Now that he's gone back to the right hand of the Father, where is his body? It's right here on this earth, isn't it? Through his believers. We are his body, folks. And that's how Jesus works today and does the works on the earth today, is through his body, which is you, which is me, and all the other believers. So that's how Jesus is. As he is the head of the body, so are we, the body, in this world. Can you see that? Jesus went back to heaven and he left his body here. And that body today consists not just Jesus, but us. And Jesus goes with us, confirming his word with signs following. That's how he does it here in this world, through his name. Okay, well, that completes this lesson on Jesus is with us through his name.